This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. The macroeconomic number of, I don't know, the past decade or so has been 2. That's denominated in percent and is the Federal Reserve's target for inflation, 2%. Thing is, actual inflation, as in the economy, hasn't been playing along with the Fed and has in fact been running steadily below 2% as it pleases, thank you very much. Exactly why inflation is still so low, despite an unemployment rate that should be helping to drive prices up, is a mystery to the Fed and is a subject of interest to former Fed Governor Daniel Tarullo, who wonders if maybe we're doing it wrong. He's got a new paper out from the Hutchins Center at Brookings. It's called Monetary Policy Without a Working Theory of Inflation, which is, I promise, way more interesting than it sounds. Dan Tarullo, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Kai.
So let me ask you a couple of questions about inflation and this paper you wrote, and I'm going to need some explanation here. I'm going to read you a sentence, and you're going to decipher it for me. The substantive point in this paper about monetary policy and inflation, you say, is that we do not at present have a theory of inflation dynamics that works sufficiently well to be of use for the business of real-time monetary policy making. What does that mean?
Basically means, Kai, that although the models like the relationship between unemployment and inflation help you directionally to know whether it's more likely you're going to get more inflation or less likely. On the basis of all the research that's been done, we don't have coefficients within those models that have very much predictive power at all in what I call a real-time basis, which is to say you got to make monetary policy decisions, every 6 to 7 weeks. And when those relationships have attenuated, as they have, it means that you can't just rely on the model, which, by the way, is not only not a surprise to many economists, but of course, it's good economists themselves who have documented that fact.
Well, right. And also, you go on to say, just to demonstrate good intention here, you go on to say that the folks you worked with on the Fed, they know this, they understand it, and yet somehow they are still captive in some way to this idea that we're going to have to look at these numbers and figure out what to do.
Yeah, well, of course, we do have to figure out what to do, and everybody has to take a position at each FOMC meeting. People tend to fall back a little bit on the things that they were trained in. And as you know, for an economist, the saying, it takes a model to beat a model, is a very powerful one.
Right.
And so in the absence of another model that seems to have more predictive power, I think sometimes at least some macroeconomists do find themselves falling back on a reliance on the old Phillips curve, which is the relationship between unemployment and inflation,
right,
to a greater degree than they would if you engaged them in a conversation in which you said, well, Dr. X, how much predictive force do you think this has? And of course, they would say, we understand it doesn't have a whole lot.
Okay, so does it matter? Obviously, it's important to the folks who gather around that big table in the Fed building every 6 or 7 weeks. But does it matter more broadly if the Fed doesn't have an actual model and instead has to sort of go with what it's got?
Well, I think it depends, right, is the answer. I mean, if people are hewing to the concept of a model and acting as if they believe that on a meeting-to-meeting basis it's having an effect, then I think you do have the potential for policy mistakes. For example, a year or two ago, raising rates more than we certainly know in retrospect would have been necessary. But if, as I think many members of the Fed do, there is an effort to say, okay, we can use the model as a starting point, but then we have to look at observable data, and we have to look at all the potential things that are going on that may be pushing up or tamping down inflation.
This paper came out in the same week or two-ish period that Chair Yellen gave a speech in which she confessed to the Fed's imperfect understanding of inflation and how low inflation is still a mystery. I don't want to sound alarm bells, but it's a little alarming that the Fed chair goes, well, we don't really know.
I actually would, if I were a member of the public, I would take it as more reassuring. And the reason I would take it as reassuring is you would say, okay, we have an incredibly accomplished chair of the Fed.
Yeah.
And she's saying to the American public, look, I'm not going to try to suggest to you that we totally understand it. Instead, I'm going to tell you exactly what we see. And she then proceeded to go through her analysis of all the different factors. And then she showed you where her predisposition was, which was an expectation that as labor markets continue to strengthen, we will see some movement back towards the 2% inflation target. And that, in her mind, was a reason to continue on the path of gradual rate increases that she set a couple of years ago.
Without the expectation that you'll give me a straight answer on this one, and so I won't actually waste the time in asking the question, I do wonder, though, what you make of the maneuvering around whether or not Chair Yellen is going to get her job reappointed.
Well, I mean, I think any time there is an incumbent chair, obviously the president, when there's the president of another party or someone who did not originally appoint that chair, there are a lot of factors that go into deciding, you know, what the best thing to do is. I mean, if I were in an administration, and obviously I'm not, to me the most important thing in any Fed chair is whether that individual will be able to provide really good stewardship of the economy. And that means intellectual leadership in times that are not all that predictable. It means the capacity to lead internally, because you have to forge a consensus. People do not walk in lockstep just because the chair says she or he wants to do something. And third, someone with credibility in the markets. And as you know, Kai, it's not as though people in the markets just want to be told what they would like to hear. They want to believe that the person saying it knows what she's talking about.
Daniel Tarullo was, until fairly recently, a member of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve. He has a new paper out from the Brookings Institution. It's called Monetary Policy Without a Working Theory of Inflation. Dan, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Kai.